Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Let's run down some of the other things that happened last night with some of the folks who are on the roundtable on a regular basis. First and foremost, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, state rep who will become potentially a state senator. She still has a general election in November, won a very crowded primary in Senate District 22 in Jeffco. Mary Elizabeth, how are you? Congratulations on the victory yesterday.
Thanks. I'm pretty tired.
I can imagine. So, you know, how many times have you been on the ballot total right now in your life?
Five. I'm counting. So city council, and then four times in a primary and in a general. And so this is my sixth time on the ballot.
So I've never been, you know, on a ballot. I've been in some war rooms, though, and people are waiting for results. And I can't even imagine, because even if you think you're going to win or you feel pretty confident, you just don't know, right?
Yeah, you have really no idea. So the early returns came in and it looked really good. But you don't get a breakdown of precincts. And so for people who haven't run for office, a state Senate seat has, I think I had 42 different precincts. And so you naturally, I'm stronger in the areas that we worked harder. And so you're kind of looking to see like, okay, where's my home state rep seat? Are they coming in from the areas that we were really focusing on? And without knowing that, there's potential that somebody who, for example, represented another House seat, their margin could have been bigger in their home seat and kind of come through. So until you get that call from, in my case, Ken Waller, the new incoming state representative and the current county clerk for Jefferson County, saying, listen, I'm calling it. We've got 98% of the precincts reporting. Congratulations, you've won. You really just kind of holding your breath, waiting to see what happens.
Now, did Ken win the seat that you're vacating?
No, he's in Becky Ruth's old seat-ish.
Okay.
So because of the redistricting, the lines have all shifted a little bit. But basically, Ken is replacing Becky Ruth.
Yeah, I like Ken Waller. I thought he did a good job when he was – I lived in Jeffco when he was the county executive, so I would root for him. So this was a big night. We're going to have Nick Schroer on in a couple of minutes, too, representing the other side of the listening audience as we are sandwiched St. Louis County in between Jeffco and St. Charles County. Nick won big last night, too. But you're all backed by Jim Lemke, is someone who used to be a state senator and a legislative staffer, very active in politics in Missouri. There was a PAC that was put together to support the conservative caucus candidates. You were included in that, and it was a big night for the conservative caucus, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think part of that is because the electorate actually is conservative. And so if you have a group that's called the conservative caucus that is supporting you, who's wanting to see, you know, kind of traditional Republican plank platform issues, the electorate is going to navigate to those people. So I haven't seen Nick's results. I know he won big. In a four-way primary, I won by almost 11%. And certainly part of that is who is the most conservative, member. So Nick and I both had Missouri Right to Life endorsements. We both had Missouri Firearms Coalition saying we were the most 2A friendly. I think he was also endorsed by Americans for Prosperity Missouri. I mean, so you look at kind of the coalition that each of us built. St. Charles and Jeffco are different, but we're not so different in the electorate that they're looking for champions of the party platform.
So the breakdown in the Senate, you got 34 members of the Senate, which you might become one of into next year if you win in November. You have a 7-member conservative caucus. That was this year. 17 senators aligned with Republican leadership, and then 10 Democrats. And it's been said that the 7-member conservative caucus and Senator Andrew Eigel in particular were kind of rabble-rousers. And the infighting that went on during the legislative session really became between Republicans and Republicans and not Democrats and Republicans. So obviously people think that some of that was dysfunctional. Obviously, they're fighting for their causes. But what would you say about the potential for the conservative caucus to work with the other groups in the next legislative session?
Well, so I think that it's very, very high. So one of the things, I'm a mom of a bunch of kids, right? And sometimes I think you don't necessarily have any bad kid, but you get a bad class of kids where the personalities just aren't working for whatever reason. And I think we saw a lot of that last session where it wasn't necessarily, you know, no one senator is a bad senator, but the combination of personalities and whatever has happened has made it just completely dysfunctional. And so what I can tell you is I'm really focused on making sure that whoever gets elected, when I'm elected to serve in the state Senate, if they're there to work on moving forward education reform, tax reform, you know, doing away with a lot of the administrative state, reducing barriers for businesses to have access, like, I'm going to be there right with you, working alongside of you. I don't care whether you're part of this group or that group or a Republican or a Democrat. I think Missourians really want people who are going to be finding solutions and working hard to fix the problems of the state. And so that's really what I'm going to be focused on. And I have a lot of hope for next session. I think that you're going to have a different mix of personalities and it's going to go better. And I think hopefully we're going to see this decline of the Republican versus Republican infighting.
State Representative Mary Elizabeth Coleman, who is a Reardon Roundtable veteran, she won in the primary for the state Senate in District 22. Off of that particular race, what did you think of what happened in Kansas last night with the abortion amendment?
Yeah, so I got to tell you, I read that amendment five times and was left not exactly clear. You know, if you're not an attorney, if you're not practicing in this area, if you're not living and breathing it, it was kind of confusing. And so often no is the default proposition that people will vote on if they don't understand the writing. And I think it was a little overly lawyered. And, you know, I know that it's kind of being touted nationally as a big failure for the pro-life movement, but I think it was more of a referendum of the language just didn't, it wasn't great. It was pretty confusing.
Yeah, and I have heard that.
And if it's confusing, it's a no, people are just going to say no.
Right. I have heard that from some others doing some post-game analysis of that as well. Well, Mary Elizabeth, again, congratulations. Just a quick question, though. Were there any other members of that crowded field in your district who have been on the Reardon Roundtable? I don't believe so, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so you got to think that that's really what pushed you over the top, don't you, at this point? Because there's two things that happen, as you know. You either get pushed over the top or you go to federal prison, and hopefully the latter will not happen to you.
The latter, I promise you, is not going to happen to me, so it must be the former.
All right, good. Well, listen, we'll see you on the roundtable soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks,
Mike. Take care. 517. Well, yeah, we aren't five members of the roundtable, all told, have been either in federal prison or heading to federal prison. It's a good number. Nick Schroer is with us. He's also a state rep, and he won his primary for State Senate District 2. He's been on the roundtable as well. Hey, Nick, congratulations on your victory yesterday.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I do think that being on the roundtable, I think two times, is what got me over the finish line.
Yeah, suck up as much as you possibly can because the host does appreciate it. So thank you for that. But let me kind of launch off of what Mary Elizabeth said. I don't know if you heard the entire conversation about this past legislative session and some of the dysfunction. She said part of that, and I think there might be something to that, was personality conflicts and not maybe everyone just disagreeing on policy. I think maybe a combination deal. But the obviously the left and maybe even, well, certainly the media, the Post-Dispatch, wants to put anything that happens in the legislature that's negative on the conservative caucus. That seems to be a pattern of theirs. But what would you say about that, Nick?
Well, I think, you know, I think the polarization of politics over the past several years has contributed a lot to the infighting. And I think, you know, with some of the personalities, to her point, you know, didn't allow them in the Senate to focus on the true goal of representing people, advocating for the people, getting tax cuts done, getting the woke garbage out of our schools and out of our curriculum. And I think what is truly lacking in the Senate, which Mary Elizabeth, myself, Curtis Trent, and even Ben Brown, to a large extent, were either A, attorneys, or have gone through the legal system. And in Ben's case, attacking St. Louis City after they shut him down during COVID. But I think what we need is a mediator, somebody that can actually get the party to focus back on what the true goals are, the Republican Party platform, and actually get work done. I think myself, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Curtis Trent, we've proven that time and time again in the past couple of years in the House of passing massive legislation, whether it was the heartbeat bill, the trigger law, law enforcement officers' bill of rights. And these are things that you know, our constituency was very pleased with, but they're not pleased with the fact that we haven't cut taxes. We haven't dealt with the sports betting thing. You know, medical marijuana could have been on the forefront because of the initial finished the petition process. So there's a lot of things that we still have to get done. I think this is going to be the year because we do have true leaders, all happen to be millennials as well.
So what would the, I mean, I think you named a couple of them, you ticked them off there, but heading into the session, you still have to win a general as well, but these are relatively safe districts. So let's just talk, if you are in the Senate in the next legislative session, what do you want to see the focus to be on, Nick?
Well, I think number one for me is going to be education choice. You know, we can fix a lot of these problems with schools, with the pornographic material, with the critical race theory and indoctrination, or the woke gender garbage that we're seeing second, third graders being taught. We can fix a lot of that by going free market, so to speak, and having these tax dollars, your tax dollars, follow your kid to the institution that you as the parent believe is best. I think secondly, tax cuts, personal property tax, getting rid of that, phasing out fully. Real estate taxation while still focusing on funding these vital resources like our first responders, police. And to that point, I think keeping our community safe. I had a bill this year, got halfway through the process, taking back control of the St. Louis City Police Department. We've seen what Tashar Jones, Kim Gardner, Cori Bush, all of them have pushed and pushed and pushed on the backs of police to the point where we're seeing record high exits from the police department as crime is soaring and even spreading into St. Charles County. And I think lastly, with a lot of these issues that we've seen in elections, we have to address bringing more truth in elections. There were so many lies and smears that the public just really didn't know what to believe. And I think we need to clear some of that up, because if you're going to work for the people and ultimately try to use their tax dollars to enrich yourself, you need to tell the truth. And I think if the constituency were to lie to the government, there would be some serious repercussions. It needs to be flipped around.
What's your reaction to what happened in the Senate primary yesterday? Thoughts on that?
Oh, well, you know, the U.S. Senate primary, I think that, you know, the best man won, so to speak. I really liked both of the Erics. I like Vicky Hartzler. I liked a lot of the individuals that were in that race in a very crowded field. But I think what the Attorney General Eric Schmidt has done over the past year, 2 years, working with me on the heartbeat bill, working with me on police reforms, and going after these schools that are, you know, sending kids home, forcing them to mask up, it's exactly what the people wanted. So I'm not surprised that he was able to get the victory. I was surprised that Eric Greitens fell as much as he did. And I think those massive media campaigns actually contributed to it. But yeah, I think when you look at the state Senate campaigns, like you mentioned it previously, a lot of these individuals that are hardcore fighters, that are conservative fighters, myself, Mary Elizabeth Coleman, Curtis Trent, and many others, we got elected because we are, you know, boots on the ground, touching base with all of the constituency. And I think that's exactly what we need to bring back into politics, is a voice of the people.
Nick Schwartz, thank you so much for coming on here. And I'm sure you're taking a bit of a breather here before gearing up for the next race. But congratulations. We'll catch you on the roundtable soon.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. God bless.
He mentioned the woke education stuff. That reminded me. I should talk about this with Zig coming up. John Ziegler's coming up from L.A., but I got a few other things.
That'll get him going.
But listen to this. So there's a California school district, no surprise, paying woke kindergarten education consultants. It's actually called,
they're calling it
that. Woke Kindergarten's homepage calls the organization a global abolitionist early childhood ecosystem.
What?
And it says it's supporting children, families, educators, and organizations in their commitment to abolitionist early education, pro-black, and queer and trans liberation.
Who keeps us safe? We keep us safe. We don't police us. We don't arrest us.
What?
Well, yes. The scope of the contract.
We don't arrest us.
We don't arrest us because we don't like police. That's basically what she's saying.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, you know, it's an anti-police thing. The resources are, this is how they spell it out. I guess you got to give them credit for honesty. Disrupt whiteness,
okay,
white dominant settler colonial narratives, and anti-blackness in the Glassbrook elementary school community. It's all about white supremacy in even in kindergarten.
Oh, that's
and this, by the way, for the Post-Dispatch and the lefties out there that say nothing to see here. Oh, it's happening, and it's happening in California. They can have it in California.
Yes,
I don't want any part of it here in Missouri.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.